Okay, so we are on, today's Kuf Yud Dalet. We are on Kuf Yud Gimel, I believe, but six lines in the bottom. One, two, three, four. Six lines of the base, six lines in the bottom. But Amar Rava. Rava says, Hani di Dairi Dari. These Goyim, or the Dairi Dari, that they basically, they are like gardeners. They're like fertilizers. What they do is they get paid to have their animals, you know, graze in your field and fertilize the field. So, the B'toch HaTchum, if they are within the tchum, which I guess is 2,000 amos, of the city where the Yehudim live, asur likach mehen, you're not allowed to purchase from them any animals. My taima mishum de ma'arava chayvasa de masa, because ma'arava, they get mixed up within their animals, are definitely animals of Jews from the city. And basically, what you're doing is you're buying stolen animals. Right, because mishum demarava chayvasa demasa bahadayu. But chutz l'tchum, if they are outside the tchum, in the past 2,000 amos from the city, then mutli kach mehem, then you are permitted to purchase from them, because you don't have the chash that the city animals went that far out outside the city. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, im hayu ba'ailim miradvim acharayim, afilu chutz tchum asar. If you see that the owners of animals are chasing after this guy's flock, you know, saying, my animal's there, my animal's in there, then you're not allowed to buy from them because they have raglayim l'davar that mixed into this guy's flock is a Jewish animal. Rashi says, right, asul likach mehen, right, behema, shema nischabra in behema, sarham shal yisrael, b'shal b'nei yisrael, because maybe the Jewish animal is there, and what you're doing is just you're buying stolen animals. Marcus,
can I just clarify, when it says within the tchum, does that mean just on the area outside the city within the tchum, or in the city itself?
Well, chutz l'tchum means from the city out to 2,000 amos. The city is part of the tchum.
The
tchum extends the city 2,000 amos.
Yes, I understand that. But
so that's it. From that marker out,
right.
Then you can. Machir's Rava. Rava made an announcement. The Isayim Rav Huna, and some say Rav Huna made the announcement, right? The Salkin Le'ela, right? He made the announcement to those, the Salkin Le'ela, the ghosts that go up, which means usually goes up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Udinach Tin L'Sata, and those that go down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hi Bar Yisrael, if you have this Jew, the Yodas Adus Lekusi, who knows testimony for the benefit of a non-Jew, the Lo Tavu Mine, but he wasn't subpoenaed. And it wasn't called to court. The Azov Asid Le Bedin Dekusi Yisrael Chavrei, and he goes ahead and volunteers his testimony. It seems like that there's a case between a non-Jew and a Jew, and the non-Jew is and this other Jew B knows testimony that is damaging to the Jew that would make the non-Jew the victor. So and he volunteers. The Azov Asid Le Bedin Dekusi Yisrael Chavrei Misham Tinan Le. They put him in Nidoy My Taima. The Innu, what's the reason why? You're supposed to give testimony. What's the reason why? The Innu Mafki Mamona Apuma Dechad. Right? Because they, the non-Jewish courts, they will extract money based on an Eid Echad. Jewish court will only extract money on two witnesses. This is the only witness to the transaction. If he goes to the non-Jewish court, he's going to have his Jewish friend, Rashi says, Shenimsa Shef Sido Shlokadin. That he's going to lose out, not a, and it's not going to be a piyah halacha, right? Below Amaron, and we only say that he shouldn't testify ela b'chad. That's if he would be testifying alone. Aval betray, if they would be two, then lo. Then we don't say it's usher to testify, because two would have extracted the money of the Jewish court also. He's not doing anything different than, not doing anything different. B'chad nami lo Amaron, and we say also that one should not testify, that's...
Had he not appeared, or the two aid have not appeared, they would not have extracted any money, right?
Correct, but there are two witnesses. So he's not doing, and by testifying with two witnesses, he's not doing anything that would have been different from the Jewish court to a non-Jewish court. And one also we say should not testify, but that's only in the non-Jewish courts out in the fields. But in the big courts in the city, they also do not only listen to one witness. They view that one witness is not valid enough, and therefore, if you go ahead and you testify and you,
so they do
provide. Right, sorry, then you can testify even singly the inu nami chadam moso shodalei, because that eight echad won't do anything. In other words, you can testify there because it's not going to make a difference. It won't make any difference, and therefore, if you testify, you're not going to be extracting money by one. You're only implying that you shouldn't be testifying at one if you, as one, are going to be enough to extract the money in their courts, and therefore, your Jewish friend will be losing money not al pi din. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, well, Tosos asked, what did we just say before? Was it yesterday's daf, the day before, that there's no problem of hafkas halva? You know, if the guy makes a loan and there's no problem of not paying him back. So therefore, if you force this guy, you're making him lose a lot because he's being mafsid, right? So he says over here, nevertheless, here it's not a problem because they have to understand that here the Jewish person really owes him the money. So if you really owe him the money, then you're not going to. Then there's going to be no need to. Here the problem. I'm not sure what the difference is. Here the problem was, is that one aid would not have, one aid. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the difference is. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, Hay by Yisrael, the Zabin Le Ara Le Ovik Chavim. I mentioned by Yisrael Chavrei Mishamtin Le. This Jew owns land. Reuven owns land next to Shimon. Reuven sells his property to a non-Jew instead of selling it to Shimon. Now we have the halacha of Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra means usually the owner of the land next to the field being sold has a right of first refusal, that he should get offered the land first before you sell it to somebody else so he can have a contiguous parcel. Here, he sells it to an Ovei Kochavim. We say that the one who sold it, Mishamtin Le, we put him in Nidoy. So my time, what's the reason? Why did he put him in Nidoy? Maybe you say the reason is because he violated Din of Bar Metzra, which actually is, I believe, a Din de Rabbanan. My timer, inim mishum din de bar metzra. If you say it's because he violated the din of bar metzra, right? We say the harei v'hamamar. Didn't we learn in Masechus Bava Metzia that zavim le'obikachavim v'zavim le'obikachavim lekam mishum din de bar metzra? There is no din of bar metzra. Does not apply if you purchase from a non-Jew or you sell it from a non-Jew. Meaning, if you are kona from the goy, there's no reason that you have to offer your Jewish neighbor to buy the land first. Maybe the guy would have sold. You're actually helping your Jewish neighbor because you're getting rid of the non-Jewish neighbor next to him. The non-Jew here, again, Meiri points out, we're talking about real Ovei Kochavim. We're not talking about people who recognize, you know, the one above. And there's also selling to the non-Jew. Also, when you sell it to the guy, there is no Din of Bar Metzra because the Din of Bar Metzra is really a right. Yeah. It's really an issue on the purchaser. Meaning a purchaser shouldn't purchase a land that's next to somebody else's land. But that doesn't apply to a guy because he's not subject to the halachas. So therefore, there's no din of bar metzra when it comes to the guy. So therefore, this guy is not being put in chayrim because he violated bar metzra. Ella, da'amrina lei, the reason why we put him in nidoy, da'amrina lei, arbisli ara ametre. You have placed a lion on my border. I guess because this guy's going to bother him. U'mishamtinan lei, and we put him in nidoy, they're worried about the non-Jew. This Akum has different rules when it comes to neighborly relations. He doesn't hold the whole parak of Lo Yachpor, and he's not going to be marchik his nizakin. Whatever he's going to do, it's going to cause damage to my property. So if you sold it to the non-Jew next to me, we put you in nidui until you accept upon yourself all the damages that could theoretically arise by having this Akum next to me. Tosas points out, which is fascinating, Tosos. It says, Omer ben Atam, the Hainu Dafka Kishi Yisrael Rotza Litain Lo Kemosh Nosa Lenyo Akum. It's only if the Jewish neighbor would be willing to pay as much as the non-Jew was willing to pay. Because then, you should sold it to him. You shouldn't have sold it to the non-Jew. Avalima Akum Rotza Litain Lo Yoser, Ein Lahasam Shokain. It's not my obligation to lose money and for your benefit. So just the idea of telling you, I think what Tosas is saying, is the idea of saying, oh, you have to go to the Jewish merchant because he's Jewish, that's fine and dandy if the prices are equal. But I have no obligation, according to Rabbi Tam, to lose money just to keep somebody else happy. You know, the old story about the Hasidic Rebbe. Guy comes to the Rebbe and says, I don't understand. Why are you going to the Italian tailor? You should be going to the Jewish tailor, to go to this tailor. She goes, well, the Italian tailor charges me $10 to do it, and he charged me $15. He says, well, he's a Jew. And Rebbe goes, well, so am I. Okay.
But according to the Tzimah, you can't discriminate yourself.
What? What's the discrimination here?
Because you're.
What's the discrimination here? First of all, why? Who says there's a problem? When does discrimination, according to whatever title over here, apply to a private place? A golf club does not. It doesn't allow blacks. Doesn't allow Jews. If it's private, it's okay. This isn't a government entity. You can discriminate. It's not public housing.
But when you have a private seller, you cannot pick one over the other at the same price.
Why not? If it's the same price, why can't I choose? Of course I can.
Because if the guy comes in with one price...
The seller can't discriminate.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You can discriminate where you shop.
Right, but if it's the same price, what's the discrimination? It's the same price. How do I determine? It's the same price, therefore I have to give it to the one I don't want to sell it to?
Same price, and one guy comes in first, and then the other guy comes... You cannot take the second guy over the first.
Okay, not for now.
Okay, but there's nothing to do with the Gemara we're talking about right now, so we're going to skip that and keep going. Okay, fine. So next Mishnah. Natlu Mosin. So you have the tax collectors come. These are tax collectors, or these are collectors who are taking not al pidin. They're not govu al pidin. So Natal Mosin es chamoro. So you go, you come to the port. They like your donkey. They say, that's a nice donkey. They took that donkey. And instead, they give you another donkey because they want yours. Yours is probably better, so they give you a worse one. Or, Natal Listim, these guys lot of them, these Listim, they take your ksuso, v'noshlo ksusacheres. And then they change you, and they give to you
a different clothing.
Right, change. Hare Elu Shalo. Those belong to you. The second ones that you got belong to you. You can be zoke them. You can be zoke them. Mipnei Shabaili Mishyashimahim. The assumption being in the Mishnah is that the original owner of the better donkey or of the better clothing had Yeish when they were taking from him, and therefore you have either you say that this Mishnah holds that Yeish Kedi is Kone, the Yeish loans itself is okay, or you have Yeish and the Shinui Rishus into your property, and therefore you are Kone, that's that item. Matzil min hanar, a guy saves something that is floating in the river. O min agayis, or he saves it from the troop. I guess that's probably how we translate. O min alistim, or he saves it from goyim, who he changes from bandits. Min agnahar, min agayis, min alistim. Imnis yashu abaylim. Mishnah seems to say, if we know that the original owner had yeyush, right? Hare el shalo, they belong to him. But if we don't know, seems to be if we don't know, because it says imnis yashu. But assumption being, if they don't know that there was yeyush, then maybe you can't be zocheh in it. Okay? Because maybe here you didn't have yeish. Or you say that yeish, maybe you didn't have yeish. V'chein nichil shel dvorim. And so too, if some finds a bunch of bees that are in a beehive, im nisyashu areil shalo. If we know the owner had, I don't know how you know, but if you know that the owner had yeish, whatever the way you know, if the owner had yeish, then you can keep them. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says, I guess if you have a place where there are no edim to testify to who these bees belong to, they say ne'emenes isha o katan lomer mikan yotzen yichil zeh. A woman or a katan, or typically pasul edus, they can say where this honeycomb, this bunch of bees came from. The Gemara doesn't explain that on the base. Umahalich, and additionally, umahalich besoruch shtei chaveiro l'hatzan l'sechilo. You can walk into, I guess if your bees flew off somewhere else, you can walk into that someone else's field in order to save them. Vim hizik, and any damage that you did while going to save them, vim hizik, mishalim asha hizik, you have to pay. Aval lo yakotze socho, but you can't, I guess, purposely do damage or do large amounts of damage. You can't rip off a branch in order to grab, let's say all the bees are on a branch, you can't break off this big branch. You may be afraid you don't want to take them one by one. You can't pick off the big branch. I'm an asli tainas damim, and have in mind that I'll pay him for the damage I do. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan Baruch Omer, af kochei shenosin es damim. Yes, you can. You can rip off this big branch, cause this large amount of damage, lidchat chila, in order to save your bees. And the tanai beis din is that you will pay for the damage. Tana, we learned in a brisa. Im natal masya. So this brisa seems to be completely opposite of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that you have yeyush when you have the tax collectors who give you one donkey in exchange for the other donkey, that the first person had yeyush, and therefore you can keep it. But not im natal masya. If the moches took, or the listim took your donkey or your clothing and gave you another one, masya lebailam rishonim. You have to give it back to the bailam rishonim. It's pretty clear here, right? Rashi says the answer that he's arguing. Right, Rashi says, "Upligi brisa mes nisim." The brisa arguing the Mishnah. The brisa might be saying one or two things. The brisa could be saying either that Yeish alone is not, or this definition of Yeish alone is not valid, and there's no Shina Rishus here also. It's not Yeish plus Shina Rishus, because, don't know why. But he's not holding of Yeish and Shina Rishus. Maybe he holds the Shina Rishus doesn't count. Maybe you have to do an actual Shinoi in the item in order for it to become, for it to be koneh.
For that donkey, couldn't it be that they exchanged donkeys because maybe the one that the tax collectors had, they stole or they illegitimately got, so they want to get like a hot potato. So they want to give.
So he's changing one hot potato for another hot potato. They're stealing both of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tana im natal lebailim im natal maxi lebailim rishonim. Right, Kasavar, Yeish Kedi Lo Kona. Because this Brisa holds that Yeish by itself, the Gazan is not Konit. Umei Karabi Suras Liyode. And therefore, in the beginning, the item came into the hands of the second person, Be'isser, and therefore he has to pay it back. Ve'ika the Amri, and others who say that learn the Brisa a little differently. Im Ba Lahaksir, if he wants to return it, Yachsel Bayam Rishonim. Meaning he has no obligation to return it. But if he wants to return it, so he wants to do Midas Chasidus, he wants to return it, then he should go return it to the original owner, not return it to the Gazan. Because the Gazan is not the rightful owner. My Taima, what's the reason why? Yeish Kedi Kani. The reason why he only can return if he wants to, but if he wants to, he can keep it, is because Yeish by itself would be Kone, and then the Brisa would be like the Mishnah. But the guy says, you know, I don't want this. This is not mine. I don't want it. I want to return it. He should return it. Maxi Lebailim is showing him. He's returned it to the original Bailim. Because Yeish was Kona, therefore now it becomes his when he gets it. So he can return it to whomever he wants. He should return it. If he's going to return it, he should return it back to the original owners.
This whole Mishnah is just teaching like Yeish or any other laws?
The Mishnah is teaching exactly what it said. I don't understand what the question is.
From all the cases,
I don't understand the question. I don't understand what you're asking, what the Mishnah is teaching. The Mishnah is teaching us a case that if the tax collectors took it, and then that's what they're teaching us. Hare Elu Shalo Mipnei Shavailim. So the Mishnah said that they belonged to him because they had Yeish. Because Yeish, the Yeish of the Yeish after the tax collectors take it, is if they have Yeish after the tax collectors collect it, and therefore you own it if they give it to you. Amar Rav Ashi, lo shanu ele bilistim ovei kochavim. That's only if the bandits who stole it from Reuven and then give it to Shimon, if the bandits who stole it were Akum bandits. Avalistim Yisrael lo. But if they are Jewish bandits, then you cannot keep it, because the assumption being that the original owners do not have Yeish. Savar, because the original owner holds, l'machar nakdin leid libedina. I'll get them to go to court, I'll subpoena them to court, and therefore I'll get my donkey back. So therefore, the original guy doesn't have Yeish, so the second guy can't keep it because there was no Yeish. So maskifle Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, no, contrary, I'd say the opposite. Adaraba ibcha mistabra. I think the opposite is mistabra. The Ovei Kochavim, when it comes to a Gazan, if the listim were Ovei Kochavim, did Dayani Begese, their Dayanim have power. If you don't listen to them, they'll beat you up. So Dayani Begese, Lomi Yeish. There, you don't have Yeish, because you're going to be so meich on the fact that they're going to find the Gazlan, and then they're going to beat him up, and you're going to get your donkey back, so you don't have Yeish. But Yisrael, Kaven, the Amri Meimar, when it comes to the Din of Yisrael, they don't have the power to do anything, they just talk. Right? That's basically what it says. The Amri Meimar. So there, what do they say? The Rashi says, they say, say Tain Lo. What power do they have? What authority do they have? They don't have the power of the state behind them. So therefore, there you're going to have Yeish, because even if I win my court case, I'm not going to get it back. What are they going to do? How am I going to get it back? So therefore, you're going to have Yeish. So Eli Itmar. So where did Rav Ashi say listim Ovei Kochavim? Yes, listim Yisrael. No, he's not saying in our case because it's the opposite. He must be saying in the following case. Eli Itmar a Seifa Itmar. Rav Ashi said his din on the Seifa, the second din of the Mishnah, which was Hamatzio Mina Ovei Kochavim. If you save something from the river or from the Ovei Kochavim or from the listim, Imnis Yaishu Bailim. If you know that the Bailim had Yeish, then in. But Bistamo Lo. Stam, without Yeish, the assumption here, if there's no knowledge of Yeish, then you cannot keep it. You have to return it. And Rav Ashi says, Lo Shanu, that Stam is not Yeish, is only Ovei Kochavim, Mishum D'Yani Begesi. Because that's Ovei Kochavim, they, Lo Shanu El Ovei Kochavim, that there's Stam, that we assume Yeish. Because, sorry, Stam is not Yeish. The Diyuk of the Mishnah is that if they have Yeish, you can keep it. But if they don't have Yeish, meaning we don't have knowledge of their Yeish, you may not keep it. Where do we say that Stam is not Yeish? That's only if the listing were goyim, because there it's not going to be yesh. I know the court's going to beat them up to give it back to me. But if it's for a Jew, since the Jewish court just speaks and doesn't really have power, then the person would have yesh, and then you would be able to keep it if you found it from the listing. Next, the Gemara now brings a machlokas tanoim, which we've seen before, whether stam geneva or stam gazela has yesh. There's something. Remember, geneva is. Gzela is force right in front of me. Guy steals it from me. I know who it is. Basically, it's robbery. And Gneva is theft. I don't know necessarily who it is. Comes at night, comes, sneaks it in like a burglar. Then I don't know who it is. The question is, which one is more powerful, I guess, type of deprivation of property that I give up hope of getting it back? If you say it's Gneva, it's because I have no idea who stole it. So I have no idea who stole it. We say that's why I give up right away. But Gzela, I know who stole it, so I'm not going to give up because I know where it is. Or you can say the other way around, that by Gazela I give up hope, because this guy who was so brazen took it right in front of me, he's pretty powerful. There's no way I can defeat him. But Geneva, you might say, well, the guy was so scared that he had to sneak into my house to get it. When I find him, I'll get it back. I'm not afraid of that guy. So let's see that inside. Tanan Hassam. This is a Mishnah Maseches Kelim. So the halacha is when it comes to Adam or when it comes to Ochel, they mekabel tuma right away. Once they hook the tuma by food, you mekabel tuma right away. When it comes to Kelim, a keli is only mekabel tuma once it becomes a kli. It becomes a kli when we say it's done, it's finished, this is the way it's supposed to be. Now you can complete a kli by one of two ways. You can either complete the kli, you fashion a cup, or the bialim can say, the way it is the way I want it to be. Comes down to mafkamino, comes to hides. Hides are oftentimes made into shoes, into clothing, into pocketbooks. So if the bialim has in mind to create it into shoes, so when the hide is as is, it's not mekabel tuma, it's not a kli. However, if the Bialim decides in his mind that he wants to use the hides as is, he wants to make it a doormat or a throw over his couch, so then it's done as a kli, and it's mekabel tuma at that moment. So Oro Shel Baal HaBayis, the hides of the owner, right? Machshava mitamaton. His machshava alone is enough to make it susceptible to mekabel tuma. Vishal Abdon, but of the tanner, then a machshava mitamaton. His machshava to make them into like a throw or into a mat is not sufficient. Rashi says, because he's in business, when a guy walks into a shop and says, I want to buy a pair of shoes, he'll say, oh, okay, I have this hide for a pair of shoes. So his machshava does not finish the process, because at any moment he could change his mind and use the hide to make something. Rashi says, Vishal Abdon, he's really there to sell the hide. Hilkach a machshava to machshava. So his machshava the same. They use it as is. It's not a machshava. Because if someone wants to come and buy, yim karenu lahen, he'll sell to them. But nimsa sheshof sofan leminalayim. In the end, he's going to make this to make the shoes out of it. But dayin lo nigmar malacha lekach. And therefore, it's not nigmar malacha on the leather. So the Gemara said again. So the machshava of alabayis is enough. If the machshava of alabayis may say the leather is going to be to say a doormat. That is enough to refer to mekabel tuma, but of the storekeeper, it's not going to be enough because he's going to change his mind. Shel gazlan, what happens if someone steals a leather hide, and the machshava of the gazlan was to use it as is? Ein machshava mitamason. His machshava is not to make it mekabel tuma. Because we're going to assume here that he doesn't own it, because mestama the bialim didn't have yeish. The bialim don't have yeish, then. It's not his. But the ganav decides that he's going to use this as the throw, then it is metame. The assumption being that it belongs to him because they're stam yeish by a ganav. So the Tanakh, right? That's the Rabbanon. They say that their stam yeish is by the ganav, not by the gazlan. Because the ganav, you have no idea who it is. The gazlan, you do know who it is. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Omer, no. Chilif advarim, the opposite. Shel gazlan machshav mitamason. If the gazlan has intent to use this as the throw, that is enough to create it to be susceptible to kabel tuma, because mestama the bialim had yeyush. Shel ganav ein machshav mitamason. But by the ganav, it's not machshav mitama, because lefi shalonis yeyush bialim, because there's no yeyush bialim. So Amar Ula says, this machlokas, you know, Rabbi Shimon Chachamim, as well as not there's yeish when it comes to a ganav or it comes to a gazlan, that's bestam. That's only if we don't know whether or not the bialim had yeish or not. The Chachamim say stam geneva is yeish, and Rabbi Shimon says stam gzela is yeish. Aval biyadua, if we know, we heard the bialim say, you know, vayli l'chasaron kis, we heard the bialim give up hope, divrei akol yeish kani, and everyone holds that's valid yeish, and therefore the ganav would be kone. Obviously, he has to still pay back. But the kinyan gazel, it's no longer considered the heishel gazel or gazel. Now he has to pay back, but he gets to keep the item. Rabba says no. Biyadua non machlokas. Even if we know that the Bailim had Yeyush, there is also going to be the machlokas, because I guess he holds that Rashi says on the bottom, the inami shaminan demiyai, it's like the 10, 11 lines from the bottom. Biyadua nami machlokas. The inami shaminan demiyayish, amirabonim begazan lo havayayish. The kol shaiti dait de lemanke bedina, the king ganal Rabbi Shimon. Their yeish is not real yeish, because according to Chachamim, if it's a gazlan, you still think you can even take them to court, and according to Shimon, if it's a ganav, you still think you can get them. So I don't know when you have yeish then, by gazlan or ganav. If the guy says I had yeish, we're saying he doesn't have yeish. I'm not sure how that pans out. So Rabba says that even if you know that the Bailam had yeish, you still have this machlokas. You still have this machlokas regarding a ganav or a gazlan, whether that yeish is valid or not. So Amalei Abaye l'Rabba. Rabbi says to Rabbi, "Lo tiflo galei de ula." Rabbi, you're wrong. Don't argue in ula. The machlokas is only by stam. There is no machlokas biyadua, right? Because if you look, the stam mastisin givasei. Because you look at the Mishnah that the Mishnah we just quoted now. Rashi says, "Hach mastisin de oros, to taharas, to katani, lefi shalonisai shu abaylim." The whole reason why you say that there's a problem as to whether or not the ganav or the gazlan's machshava has impact on the tumah is because it says, because the Bailim were not Miyayish. Meaning if the Bailim were Miyayish, you'd have no Machlokas. So that says that by Yadua, by Yadua, if it's by Yadua, then there is no Machlokas. There's definitely Yayish. So right, he says, Lefish alone Sayashu Bailim. Time and alone Sayashu Bailim. Abon Sayashu Bailim, Harei El Shalom. They belong to him. So Amarle, so Rabbi says back to Abaye, there's no Raya from the Mishnah. Don't read it as Lefish Ain. Don't read it as. Where's the Mishnah? Don't read it as Lefisha Ein Yeish Labailim. Don't read it as Lefisha Lonis Yaisha Labailim. Rather read it Ana Lefisha Ein Yeish Labailim Mastin Sinle. It's because we know there was no Yeish. This is not a case of Stam. Don't make that deal. He reads the Bryce Mishnah differently. But where is it stated in the Mishnah that way? All right, the Mishnah says Lefisha Lonis Yaisha Labailim. So he says, don't read it Lefisha Lonis Yeish Levayim, the last words. Read it Lefisha Ein Yeish Levayim, because there is no Yeish over here. So we know for a fact that there is no Yeish. That's why we have the Machlokas between Ganav and Gazlan. But you can't make the Diuk about what would be if there was Yeish, because this is just telling the facts of the case. The facts of the case were, there was no Yeish here, so there's no issue of Stam whatsoever. It's just the fact that's the case that's brought down. Okay. So now we're going to try to bring a bunch of rayas to Ula. And Ula, I think, is Mastaber. Ula again says that the machlokas between Rav Shimon and Chacham is to whether or not there is stam yeyush by a ganav or a gazlan only applies stam. But if we know there's yeyush, then divrei kol it's yeyush, as opposed to Rava, who says the machlokas even applies by yadua. So Tznan, we learned in our Mishnah, matlu mochsin chamaro, right? The collectors took his donkey, or the listim took his cloak. These Harei Elu Shalom, we say, because the Bailim is Yashim Mehen. Now, the idea is the Mochsim, these guys are Gazlanim, because they're taking it right in front of your face. And Listim, we usually think of Listim, are bandits that hide, and they jump out and they grab it. We say that they are Ganavim, because they do it in secret.
Listim is Uyim, right?
So that's what the Mishnah Gemara is going to ask. But then the Gemara is going to ask, well, then if Listim is Uyim, then it's a Gazlan, so what's the difference between right. that? Okay, so we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that in a moment. So both cases, the Mishnah says, Harei Elu Shalom, the Stam is that the Bailam had Yeish. So the Stam is that they're Yeish. So Mani, who does that Mishnah go like? Because our Mishnah seems to indicate that both a Ganav and a Gazlan, Stam is Yeish. But we know, by Stam is a Machlokas between Ganav and Gazlan, which one is considered Yeish. So Mani, I Rabbanon, if the Mishnah is going like Rabbanon, who hold that Stam Geneva is Yeish Bailam, so Kashla Gazlan. Why by the Moches do you have Stam Yeish? Because he doesn't hold that by a Gazlan, the Stam is Yeish. The Rabbi Shimon, Kashi Ganav. He only holds the Stam Yeish by a Gazlan, not by a Ganav. So then why did a Ganav do we assume that the guy had Yeish? According to Rabbi Shimon, he wouldn't have Yeish in that case. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, Alu Ula, it all works well to Ula, the Amr Biyadu Akani. He says, if you know that there is Yeish, everyone agrees, Bein Beganav, Bein Begazlan, that Yeish is valid. So Hachanami Biyadua. So to our Mishnah, we'll be dealing with a case where it's Biyadua, so it makes no difference whether it's a Ganav or a Gazlan, there is Yeish. of Divrei Hakol. It goes according to everybody. El Rabba, the Amri Yadua, Nami Machlokas. But according to Rabba, who says, but Yadua is also Machlokas. So the same Machlokas you have without knowledge by Ganav and Gazlan, you have the same Machlokas by Ganav and Gazlan, but Yadua. So who's our Mishnah like? Because our Mishnah says both by Ganav and by Gazlan you have the Yeish. According to Rabba, what instance do you have both Ganav and Gazlan having Yeish? Lo Karabonim and Lo Karabi Shimon. So the Gemara answers, like you said, ah, but list of Mizuyin. We're talking about list of Mizuyin, who are like a Gazlan, they're Gazlanim, and therefore Reb Shimon Hui. And it becomes like Reb Shimon, who says that Stam Gzela is Yeish. We're talking about cases of Gzela. Stam Gzela is Yeish. Because Rabbanan don't hold Stam, Rabbanan hold that it's Geneva, but here we have cases of Gzela. The Gemara says, Ihachi, Haina Gazlan. We're talking about list of Mizuyin, well, that's the same thing as a Gazlan. So Gemara basically answers, and this is the Gemara also, the Gemara, you see this answer throughout now, the next couple of lines, as well as, I think it's in the Eilim Tzias, so this is the answer given a lot. Right, Martin Eilim Tzias, he says, Trey Gam the Gazlan, Einachanami, there are two different types of Gazlan on him. There's a Gazlan that comes by himself, and a Gazlan comes with his weapons. There's a robber and armed robbery. I guess it's a difference in degree. With the same violation, difference in degree. And they're both considered Gazlanim, and therefore the Mishnah is going according to Shita Reb Shimon, who says that Stam Gazlan is the owner is Miyayish, and our Mishnah is talking about Stam Gazlanim. So Tashma, we'll bring another question on Rabba, try to prove Ula. Tashma, Hagana ve Gazlan ve Anas. So Hagana and the Anas, and Anas Chamson, guy who forces you to sell something to him. Hektesh, Trumason, Trumo, Masrosei, Maiser. They have enough kinyanim in their, what they took, in order to make something Hektesh, and to make something Trumo, and to make something Maiser. So, because they were Kona, the object. How can they Kona the object? Must mean that there was Yeish. So, Mani, who is our Mishnah like? Saint Kasha. I Rabbanan Kasha Gazlan, I Rab Shimon Kasha Ganav. If it's Rabbanan, we have a problem, because the Gazlan shouldn't be able to be Maktish it, because there's no Stam Yeish. And if it's Rab Shimon, the Ganav shouldn't be able to Maktish it, because there's no Stam Yeish by a Ganav. So Bishlam Ula the Amr Biyadua makes fine, all good according to Ula, because he says that Biyadua, they all hold Ganav and Gzela, it is Yeish and it's Kani. So Hachanayim Biyadua, Vidivrei Kolhi. El Rabba, the Amr Biyadua, Naim Machlokas, Hai Mani, Lo Rabban, Lo Rabban Shimon. If it's Rabba, says the Machlokas applies to Yadua, who does this go like? So no, Gemara says, Hachanayim, we list the Mizuyin. Rab Shimon here. No, it's list the Gan, the when we say here, Ganav, we're talking about list the Mizuyin. Why they call Ganav if it's list the Mizuyin, I don't know. But he says it's cases of list of Mizuyin, and therefore they're both cases of a Gazlan, and it goes according to Reb Shimon, because it's two cases of Gazlan, and Reb Shimon holds that Stam Gazlan there is Yeish. Gemara says, Ihachi kind of Gazlan, if that's the same case as Gazlan, Trey Gavna Gazlan, two types of Gazlan. The Ibais Ema, or you can answer that the Ganav is a Ganav Mamish, and Haimas Nisa, who is this Rice to go like? We're going to throw in another Shita. We had Reb Shimon, and we had Reb Shimon, and we had Chachamim, now we're going to throw in Rabbi. Haimas Nisa, this Rice goes according to Rebbe. Detanya, Rebbe Omer, Ganav ki Gazlan. The Ganav is like a Gazlan. The assumption being, V'kaimelon ki Gazlan Rabbi Shimon. That the Ganav has the same halachas of a Gazlan in accordance with the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, a Ganav is like a Gazlan, that Stam Yeish, Stam Ganav is like Stam Gazlan, therefore there is assumed Yeish. So they see Rebbe says that there is no difference between Ganav and Gazlan. Both of them, if it's taken from you, Mistama, you have Yeish. Okay. So now the Gemara has to prove that. Because the Gemara just made the Kaimalon, just that the Maskana of the Gemara is that Rebbe holds that a Ganav is like a Gazlan, the way Reb Shimon explains Gazlan. Reb Shimon explains Gazlan that there is Stam Yeish, as opposed to Chachamim saying Gazlan, there is no Stam Yeish, but Rebbe's holding like Reb Shimon. So how do we get to there? How do we prove that? Gufa. Okay. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, Omer Ani. I say Ganav ki Gazlan. The Ganav is like a Gazlan. Now, granted, we know the Maskana already. The Gemara is now going to work its way through to get to that Maskana. So, Yibayilahu, they had the suffix in the Yeshiva. When Rebbe says that the Ganav is Kagazlan, it's Kagazlan the Rabbanan. Does he say the Ganav is like the Gazlan the way the Rabbanan interpret it? And therefore, just like Stam Gzela, there is no Yeish Bailim, so too by Stam Gneva, we say no Yeish Bailim, Vilokani, and therefore the Ganav is not going to be Kona it. Or do we say ki Gazlan the Rabbi Shimon Kamar Vekani? Or do we say that when Rebbe says a Ganav is like a Gazlan, the Ganav has the same halacha as a Gazlan the way Rabbi Shimon interprets a Gazlan? That Stam Gzela is Yeish Kani. So therefore, by Gneva also Stam Gneva, we're going to say is Yeish. So Gemara brings a raya from our Mishnah. Tashma learned from our Mishnah. Not Lumosin Chamaro. Again, so the tax collectors took his donkey, gave him another donkey, or the listim took his cloak and gave him a cloak, another cloak. They belong to him because we say that the original owner had Yeush. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is our Mishnah like? Because both cases, again, we said that, basically repeating ourselves, we said that the Mosin are Gzelim, are gazlan, and the listim, we're assuming at this point in time, are geneva, because they do it secretly. So the Gemara says, Irabban and Kasha Gazlan. If it's Rabban, it's a Kasha Gazlan. Why is it by the Moches, who's a Gazlan, does the Mishnah say that the Bailim have Yeyush? He, Rabban, say Gazlan does not, the Bailim do not have Yeyush. Rabbi Shimon, Kasha Ganav. And if you go according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a Kasha and a Ganav. Why would, by the listim, would you say that the Bailim are Mizayish? Those are Ganavim. So, Irmat Bishma Rebbe, if you say Rebbe holds King Gazlan, the Rabbi Shimon Kamar, that Rebbe holds a Ganav, has the same halachas of a Gazlan, the way Rabbi Shimon interprets it, so then our Mishnah is fine. Ganav and Gazlan both have Stam Yeyush, right? So how many Rebbe he? So our Mishnah will go according to Rebbe. Umishum hachikani. And that's why the second guy is Kone, both by the Moches and by the Listim, because whether you're a Ganav like the Listim or you're a Gazlan like the Moches, you are Kone, because the Stam is that there's Yeush. Eli'iya mar ki Gazlan the Rabbanon. But if you say that our Mishnah, that when Rebbe says a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he holds like Rabbanon, and therefore there is no Yeush, just like a Gazlan there's no Yeush, but the Ganav there's no Yeush as well. So Hamani, who is our Mishnah like? Lo Rebbe, Lo Rebbe Shimon, Lo Rabbanan. It's not like Rebbe, it's not like Rebbe Shimon, it's like Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, neither should have Yeish. According to either one, only one should have Yeish. So who does our Mishnah go like? Must mean that Rebbe holds that a Ganav is like a Gazan, according to Rebbe Shimon, that they both have Stam Yeish. So the Gemara says, no, Hachli Ma'eskin, we answered this already, be Listen Mizuyin. We're talking about Listen Mizuyin, which is a Ganav, and therefore a Listen Mizuyin or a Ganav, it's like Rebbe Shimon, who says that Listen Mizuyin or a Gazlan. Listen, resume like a Gazlan, just like the Mochis, they're both Gazlanim. Therefore, like Rav Shimon, who say they're by Gazlan, they're Stam Yeyush. The Gemara says, Ihochi Hainu Gazlan, Trey Gavni Gazlan. Two different types of Gazlan. Tashma, we're now trying to bring another Raya. Again, we're trying to bring a Raya now that when Rebbe holds that a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he's interpreting Gazlan the way Rabbi Shimon interprets Gazlan, that Stam, there is Yeyush. So Tashma, Haganov, the Hagazlan, the Hanos, again, the Ganov, the Gazlan, and the guy who forced someone to sell, Hekdesh on Hekdesh. They have enough Kinyonim to make their Hekdesh, Utramas on Truma, to make Truma, Umaiser, Sason, Meiser. Assumption being, in all three cases, Ganov, Gazlan, Anos, that there is Yish of Bailim, and therefore the Ganav and the Gazlan own it. So again, I Rabban and Kasha Gazlan. If it's the Rabbanon, Kasha Gazlan, because by the Gazlan there is no Yish. I Rabbi Shimon, Kasha Ganov. Then the Kasha and the Ganav, because the Ganav, he says there isn't Yeish. So, Iyamar Bishma, Ganav, Kigazlan, Rabbi Shimon Kamar, if you see that Rebbe holds that when he says Ganav, Kigazlan means like Rabbi Shimon holds it, and therefore both by the Ganav and by the Gazlan, they're Stam Yeish, so Mishum Hachikoni. That's why in this case, whether it's a Ganav, whether it's a Gazlan, he was Konas enough to make the Truma or make the Hekesh. Eli Iyamar, Ganav, Kigazlan, the Rabbanon, Hamani. But if Rebbe holds that a Ganav is like the Gazlan, the Rabbanon, and therefore there is no Yeish by either of them, who is our Mishnah like? It's not like, it was this Mishnah like, it's not like Rebbe. It's not like a Chamim, it's not like Rav Shimon. So Gemara says again, Bill Listen Mizuyin, and we're talking about Listen Mizuyin, they're both cases of Gazlan, Bill Rabbi Shimon he, and going according to Shita Rabbi Shimon, who holds by Gazlan, there is Yeish. Iyachi Hainu Gazlan, Inachanami, Trey Gavne Gazlan. Again, repeating this over and over again. Okay. Rav Ashi, now, so we still don't know, we still don't have a proof that when Rebbe says a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he means a Ganav is like a Gazlan, the way Rav Shimon interprets Gazlan, that there is Stam Yeish. So Amalei, Amalei Rav Ashi Larava. You just can't read the words in this amount of time. So Rav Ashi says, what? It's not a chance. Amalei Rav Ashi Larava. Tashma Dimasni Rebbe LeRabbi Shimon Berei. We're going to now bring a proof that Rebbe holds like that Ganav Gazlan the way Rav Shimon interprets Gazlan, because Rebbe says to Rav Shimon Hassan, it's a different Rabbi Shimon. Rav Shimon is Stam Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This is a different Rabbi Shimon. This is his son. That's the Masni Rebbe LeRabbi Shimon. That Berei, that when Rebbe was teaching Rav Shimon his son, he says, this is what we saw in the previous Braisa. The previous Mishnah said that if you are gozel umachal your children, if you stole something and you fed it to your children, or you left it in front of them, they're putted for Bnei Shalem. But if it was davar sheyesh bo achrayus, then they have to pay. And we had a machlokas of what davar sheyesh bo achrayus meant. Didn't mean something that is everyone knows belongs to the Ganav, then he has to return it because of kvod avien, or it meant really karka, and there's a lien on it. But Rebbe interpreted lo davar sheyesh bo achrayus mamish. It's not talking about karkos. El afilu parav lechorish bo chamor mechamer acharav chayim lahaksim de kvod avien. You have to return this item because everyone knows it belongs to the victim, and you have to return it because of kavod aviyim. Time up ne kavod aviyim. The reason why you have to return it is because of kavod aviyim. High lav kavod aviyim low. But if there was no concept of kavod aviyim, you wouldn't have to return it because yeish should be kone. And what's the case over there? It was a gozel. It was gazlan. So mashma over there that by stam gazela there is yeish, right? Shema mina Rebbe gazlan. the Rebbe Shimon Kamer. So you see from here that when Rebbe says ganav ki gazlon, he holds that a gazlon is stam yeyush. So when he says a ganav is like a gazlon, the ganav also has yeyush. So the ganav is like the gazlon of Shimon, because Rebbe Shimon is the one who says that gazlon is stam yeyush. Shema mino, we now proved that Rebbe, when Rebbe says ganav ki gazlon, it's just like the gazlon, there's yeyush, like Rav Shimon, so too the ganav has yeyush. Because the Mishnah before was a case of gazlon, where Rebbe assumed, stam, that there was yeyush. Okay, next part of the Mishnah, v'chein nechil shadvorim. Also, if there's a nechil shadvorim, if there's yeyush, they belong to the finder. So the Gemara wants to know why it says v'chein. Why would the comb of bees be different than anything else? If you find something of your friends, if you know that there's yeyush, then you get to keep it. And also, if you find the bees, why and also? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, "My v'chein." So the Gemara says, "Hachi k'amar, afilu nechil shel dvorim." Even a nechil shel dvorim, the kinyan derabanan hu, because the ownership on these bees, you only own it midin derabanan, because I guess they come from hefker. I'm not sure why Rashi says kinyan derabanan hu, the einkan gezel el mitnei darkei sholom. There's no real theft. If I steal the honeycomb, I guess it doesn't necessarily.
It says here they one cannot own it because they tend to fly away.
Okay, so therefore the Rabbanan said that you own it. You only have the owner of the honeycomb only has a kinyan derabanan.
Legally ownerless.
What? Because technically they're ownerless because they fly away. So nevertheless, you would say salkadai dechamina. You would have thought hi kevan derabanan be alma who the kanile right afilu stama nami yaish kamash malon in the shayash mile in ilolo. The Gemara was making that since I, the owner, only own these midrabanan, so if they get lost, I must have yeish. So therefore, you can keep them. Comes the Mishnah say, even though it's only a kinyan derabanan, the owner doesn't have yeish right away because he once the rabbanan gave him ownership, he wants to maintain his ownership as long as he possibly can. Right, I think that's what it is. Right, he says, sagrei chamina hai. These nechilot dvorim kevan to me the rabbanon, but almuhu the kanile. Since the bialim only have a kin the rabbanon, so if they were lost, maybe it would be more mekel and say afilu stama. Even if we don't know for sure about the yeyush, nami miyayish, we should say that there is yeyush. Therefore, kamash malan, the time of our Mishnah says that even by the nechilot dvorim, which is only a kin owned me the rabbanon, nisayish mabayim in ilolo. You can only find it, only keep it if there's yeyush, but if not, not. Again, there's no theft here, so we don't have this issue of stam yeyush. Okay. Okay. That says what?
In order to avoid disputes, the rabbi steps one does acquire bees and birds that nest on top.
Right. Okay. So that's Rashi here. He says the ein kan gezel midarkei sholom v'hefkin inu v'tanyin chulin. He's quoting the Rashi. Rashi here is quoting the Gemara in chulin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's the first Rashi and the first wide line of the Rashi's. Kinyan derabbanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka says, "Ne'emenes isha v'katan," to say who's this the bees belong to. The Gemara asks, "That possible isha v'katan b'nei edus ninu? They can give testimony." Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. How can they? They're not valid witnesses. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Hakamai Eskina. We're talking about over here. You go and try to buy them right from Achareihem. We see the owner chasing after them. So there's raglayim adavers. So with the owner chasing after them, you know, with the circumstantial evidence plus their testimony, it's valid. But the isha v'katan mesichel v'tumam. They're just telling it in a story fashion. They're not actually testifying. They just mesichel v'tumam. They just happen to be telling the story. We can listen to them, right? The omrim, and they say mikan yotz nichil zeh. They're like, oh my god, like, look at that owner running after his bees. Like they, so basically, they're just saying it innocently. We can accept it. So Amar Rav Ashi says ein mesichel v'tumam kosher el edus isha v'vad. The only time we say that this type of testimony mesichel v'tumam. Tumah, just speaking is kosher, is only comes to Eidus Isha, only to permit a woman to marry, to say, testify that the husband died. Amalei Ravina, because we would make it on the Yaguna. Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi, the low, that's the only place we say it's valid. Bahrein Nechil Shod Vorim, Eseich Vitumahu. Our case right now is Nechil Shod Vorim, we accept him from Eseich Vitumahu. Yeshayin Nechil Shod Vorim, Nechil Shod Vorim, Nechil Shod Vorim. No, there we accept Eseich Vitumahu, because it's a Kinyan Derabonim. The only time it applies to Eidus Dehoraisa is by the woman, the case of the woman. The Gemara says, but the Raisa low, Really? Is that the only other place it applies? What about the following case? Beha Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda's the name of Shmuel, Mice about them, Echo Chase, Fitum of Omer, this guy was just telling a story, and he says, Haruni, I remember, Kishani Tinok, when I was younger, Umukrani, Al Kapitefo Shal Abba, and I was riding on my father's shoulders, Hotziuni Beis HaSefer, he picked me from Shul, Vishitunias Kutunasi, he took out my cloak, Vit Biluni, and he was tovu me in the mikvah, Lecho Betruma Erev, to eat Truma at night, trying to figure out whether this guy's a Kohen at night. Rabbi Chanina Messiah Mehachi, and he continued the story. He continued the story. The Chavei were dealing with many, and my friends used to separate from me. By Yukorin Osi Yochan Ochel Chelos, and they used to call me Yochan, the guy who eats the breads. They Elul Rabbi Lekohun Alpiv, and they made him a Kohen Alpiv, right? And therefore, you see that even to make someone a Kohen and to eat Truma de Oraisa, we believe Messiah Kvitumo. The Gemara says no. That's what Truma de Rabbanon. Talking about Pesman Hazeh when Truma is the Rabbanon. Vakati de Oraisa lo, but that's really not the case. By de Oraisa, we don't approve of Messiah Kvitumo. What about the following? Vahaki Asur Dimi Amar Rav Chana Kar. He told the story. This Maisa came. We have this one young child who was just speaking. My mother and I were taken captive amongst the Goyim, and so now we have a chash that she was Nitmeis, and therefore she's pasul to Kauna. Right? And so he says, but now I always had her in my mind, I always knew where she was. They said, that's bad enough testimony to let her marry by a Kohen. The Gemara says, no, b'shvuya, that doesn't prove that you could have Mesiv Tvitumo by the Neraisa, because b'shvuya hekilu, because Rashi says it's only a suffix to begin with. It was only a suffix whether she was Nitmeis or not, so Mesiv Tvitumo, plus the suffix, will say that she's allowed to marry a Kohen. Mishnah then says, you're not allowed to, you can chase the bees and run into somebody else's field, and if you do damage, you pay for it, but you can't rip off the branch. Rav Shimon Ben Yochanan Broka says, you can rip off the branch. Tanya, Rav Shimon Ben Yochanan Broka Omer, Tanai Basin he, it's a Tanai Basin, it's the Chas HaChamim, who, that you can go into somebody's field and rip off the branch, everyone assumes that social contract that you're allowed to do that because you would want to do the same thing. And what you do is you pay back the damage done from your hive, from your bees. Utnai Basin is also a social contract. Honey is worth more, wine is worth less. I'm carrying a barrel of wine, you're carrying a barrel of honey. Your honey is leaking out, I'll spill out my barrel of wine, you put your honey into my barrel, and therefore I save your honey, lose my wine, and you pay me back the value of my wine from your honey. Similar to Tanai Beis Din, Shemefarikas Eitzav, Vitom Pishtinosh Chavero, Vinotel Dmei Eitzav, Mitoch Pishtinosh Chavero, Shamanas came Hichel Yishul as Yisrael Saaretz. Same thing, I'm carrying wood, you're carrying flax, your donkey collapses, I take off my wood, put on your flax, it's worth more, and then you pay me back the value of my wood that I lost from the flax. Next Mishnah. Let's at least get to the Gemara. Makir Kalev Usvar B'yad Acher. A guy recognizes either his Kalim or his Svarim that belongs to somebody, that they're in somebody else's possession, and he claims that they were stolen from him, and he didn't have Yeish. V'yotzelo shem g'nei v'ir. And it happens to me that there's a rumor out there that his stuff was stolen. So yishav lo lokeach kama nosan v'yito. The lokeach who has them says, I didn't steal them, I bought them. He should swear how much he paid for it, and then we force this lokeach to sell them for that price back to the, quote, original owner. Figure out why. V'iblav. But if there was no kol that was going out, that these stuff was stolen or not, lav kol hamenu. He doesn't have the power to remove the kalim or the svarim from this purchaser. Shani Omer, I'll say mecharon la'acher v'lokachon zahemenu. You, the original owner, sold it to Reuven. Reuven sold it to Shimon. You don't recognize Shimon because you sold it to somebody in between. That's why. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop here.
It's okay.
All right, we'll stop here.
Wow.